Have you ever tried to imagine what it would be like if the province of BC decreed that all traffic signs be abolished? No more traffic lights, no more crosswalks, no lines on the road to mark lanes, no yield or merge signs, no warning signs for hills or curbs, no playground or school signs, no speed limit signs. It would be, to put it bluntly, unmitigated mayhem and chaos. The natural inclination of the human heart to do it at once, no matter who gets hurt, would rule. Traffic signs are put in place to protect ourselves and others from harm and to restrain our naturally selfish nature. And they enable us to work together to create a civilized driving environment. There are, of course, people who see traffic signs as a mere annoyance, restricting their right to do as they please. Most people, however, see traffic signs as beneficial, protective, and they know that as a society, we need to be guided by law as we navigate our cities, streets, and highways. Just so, we are able to navigate the streets and highways of our life's spiritual journey, guided by the Lord's traffic signs, which is His rule of law given in Scripture. They are beneficial and protective, enabling us to work together in the church and in the world to create harmony and not chaos. We need to obey the Lord's traffic signs, His commands, which are not burdensome. Otherwise, our personal lives and the corporate life of the church dissolve into disarray, or worse, chaos, much like the Corinthian church that the Apostle Paul had to chastise. Now, just as we might get a flat tire on our car or a fender bender as we travel our roadways, so, too, we can expect some annoyances and occasional grief as we journey through our spiritual life. But obedience to the Lord's traffic signs, His commands, will prevent catastrophe in our spiritual life. This morning, we're going to listen in to the Apostle Paul's conversation with the persecuted and beleaguered church in Thessalonica, as he gives them 18 of the Lord's traffic signs for their benefit in their life's journey. I'm reading from the first letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. Quote, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work, and live at peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong, but be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil." End quote. This passage divides itself into four stanzas or parts, each with its own set of traffic signs. And the apostle uses the imperative tense, so these traffic signs are regulatory. They're commands, they're not suggestions. Much like the white regulatory signs on our roadways, which are commands and not suggestions. The first stanza, verses 12 and 13, describe a large white traffic sign, one that appears over and over and over again as we read through Scripture. It reads, "Love the leadership." It is the Lord's will that the established leadership in the church be loved. And in the New Testament, this needs pastors and elders. Now, I'm not one or the other, so you don't have to love me. But we all must love our pastors and elders. Now, just past this first large white sign, there are three smaller ones that tell us how to love the leadership. The first sign is respect them. That is to say, know their worth. And we have some very worthy elders and pastors in this church. And second sign says, esteem them highly. Or in the NIV, it says, hold them in the highest regard. And then the apostle tells us why. Because the Lord has put them in place to work hard among us and to rule over us, not as tyrants, but as servants who lead by example and advise, warn, instruct, and counsel us. Now, the third small traffic sign connected to this issue of loving our leadership is directed both at the laity and leadership, live at peace with one another. There is no greater danger in the church than discord and sometimes outright war as laity and leadership fight and provoke one another. Now, this is not to say that a congregation can't have an honest dialogue with its leadership if there's disagreement with decisions. But we must respect the final decision of the leadership. And that's how we love our leaders. The second stanza, verses 14 and 15, describe a large white traffic sign with black lettering that the Lord raises on our spiritual journey through life. And it's one that is found in every book and letter in Scripture. It reads, love the church, or love God's people. I've talked to a number of people concerning this sign, and we've come to the conclusion that usually we run across this sign when the Lord sees that we have developed the Linus syndrome. Linus of Peanuts cartoon fame said on numerous occasions, "I love mankind as people I can't stand." When we develop the Linus syndrome, the Lord begins to teach us on how to love God's people, especially God's people and all other people in general. Now, the Lord draws our attention to this large sign by giving us six smaller ones that enable us to love the church. Four of these signs group together. We are to love the church by warning, encouraging, helping, and having patience. Now, the apostle here alerts us to three classes of people: the idle, the timid, and the weak. The idle is a military term for breaking rank or being undisciplined. The timid is to lack confidence in oneself. And the weak is to lack strength, either spiritual or physical. And I dare say that all of us in the church at times fall into one or all of these categories. All of us are told by the apostle to warn the undisciplined, encourage those lacking confidence, and help the physically or spiritually weak. This church has often been described as a friendly church. I would beg to disagree. We're an encouraging church. Before we're friendly, we're encouraging. There is numbers of times I've walked in and looked around and saw the elders and all kinds of other people encouraging each other. And it's scriptural. And I love to see it. It says we're a vital church. So before we're a friendly church, we're an encouraging church. The apostle then, after this, adds a fourth regulatory sign, which, confession time, is the hardest for me to obey. Have patience with all people. And those who know me know that I struggle with this intensely. Patience here is the Greek word makrothumia, long suffering. We're to put up with people, to be long suffering. We all have idiosyncrasies that irritate, and I know I have my share. But we are to suffer with each other, to be long suffering. Then the apostle, since he's not done here, adds two more signs. I am, to love God's people by restraining retribution. We cannot allow in the church repayment of evil with evil. And we must step in to prevent this behavior. And then I am, called to promote kindness and goodness. The original language reads, pursue the good to all. Literally, to run after in order to apprehend goodness and kindness. Toward the church first, and then to all people. Now remember, the Thessalonian church was a persecuted church, and here they're commanded to constantly work for the good of those who are harming them. Now that behavior takes having the Holy Spirit working in them and by extension in us. The next stanza, verse 19, brings us up against another large white sign from the Lord. And usually this is like on one of those long straight stretches we see on a highway, and you can see a sign in the far distance. We're just driving along really nicely and everything's going well, but we kind of have a little angst in our lives. And in our spiritual life, we love the leadership, we're loving the church, but there just seems to be something wrong. And that big white sign says, love yourself. Now, it accords with the second great command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We can't possibly love our neighbor if we don't know what it means to love ourselves. And after we encounter love yourself, the Lord, through the apostle, directs our vision to four regulatory signs that tell us how to love ourselves. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do you really want to love yourself and know God's love for you? Then rejoice always. Joy is not happiness. It's not coming into the church, put a smile on my face, and everything's wonderful. I may have just lost a very good friend to an accident, and I'm grieving. But I must rejoice. Rejoicing in the New Testament is a calm, settled assurance of the presence of God in the face of all circumstances. Joy has its grounds in the grace of God. It's the product of a spirit-filled life, according to Paul in Galatians. And then, pray continually. We're to live in a life of a spirit of prayer, facing all that comes our way with an intimate conversation with God. I get myself in trouble because I pray while I'm driving. I'm concentrating, believe me, on what's going on in front of me and behind me, but I'm talking to God. And I think there's a lot of people that give me a lot of strange looks because my mouth is going while I'm driving. I have a intimate conversation, an intimate association with God. Now, if you don't walk away with anything else in this sermon, walk away with this. Prayer acknowledges our utter dependence on God and His utter dependability. Prayer acknowledges our utter dependence on God and His utter dependability. If we really love ourselves, we will develop a God consciousness, consistently talking and listening to the Lord. And then, if you really want to love yourself, be continually thankful in all circumstances. Not for the circumstance. I might walk out this afternoon and break my leg. Am I going to be thankful for that? Absolutely not. Can I be thankful in it? Absolutely. We know that the Lord is there for us in all of these circumstances. There's 1,001 reasons to be thankful in any circumstance, because all Christians should possess an attitude of gratitude. An example of thankfulness in any circumstance would be Pastor Steve's message of September the 23rd on the life of Joseph in Egypt. Now, Paul adds a phrase at the end of verse 18, which is our fourth regulatory sign, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is not God's wish or desire for His people, but His direct intention and purpose that they pursue holiness, which is to be manifested in rejoicing, prayer, and thanksgiving. Now, the last stanza is verses 19 to 22 and raises the last sign we see in this passage, and it reads, love the teaching. In verse 20, the apostle uses the word prophecies. Now, that word in the language Paul wrote in means proclamation, not prediction. We've got enough talking hairdos on TV who are trying to predict what's going on. What we need to do is proclaim the word. A prophet was one who proclaimed and expounded divine revelation at the behest of the Holy Spirit, who is God's voice. Again, we see after that one rather large sign, there comes five regulatory signs that instruct us how to love the teaching. The first two are negative imperatives, and they're grouped together. Never quench, never despise. We are to never quench or put out the Spirit's fire, for He is the one who speaks and teaches through the human prophet. And since it is the Holy Spirit speaking through the human prophet, we must never despise, reject, or scorn the proclamation of the word. For to do so is to despise God Himself. So how on earth do we know if a prophet speaks the truth? Well, the next regulatory sign tells us, test everything. The word test means to examine, to test for genuine versus counterfeit. Or in other words, give the proclamation an exam, a test, by comparing it to Scripture, such as the Jewish people did in Berea, recorded in Acts 17. One of the foundational principles of biblical interpretation is Scripture interprets Scripture. We are to subject teaching and preaching to a rigorous test to see whether the rest of Scripture determines its genuineness. And now finally, two more regulatory signs to help us fulfill our love of teaching. We are to hold them, to hold the good teaching and abstain from every kind of evil teaching. Hold on means to embrace. My son and I have developed a habit over the last 25 years of giving each other a bear hug when we meet. And that's what we're to do with good teaching. Give it a bear hug. Embrace it. And then we're to abstain from every kind of evil teaching. To abstain is to actively reject and push it away. Push away evil teaching. Embrace what Scripture determines as useful and of good value, and push away from you that teaching which has evil intent. As we view the traffic signs put in place across our country and obey them, may they serve to remind us of the Lord's instructions that we encounter in Scripture. And may we be attentive to obey them as we continue down our spiritual journey in the road of life. Amen.